If you have brought with you this morning a copy of the scripture, I want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look into chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. There are 12 verses in chapter number 1, and we're going to look at all of those verses this morning. But for the sake of our time together this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through verse number 4. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verses 1 through verse number 4. I have the New King James Version of the Bible, if that is helpful for you. If you found that portion of the scripture, would you stand, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Pray with me, please. Lord God in heaven, we do bow in your presence this morning again to proclaim our love for you. God, to say thank you for Jesus and thank you for the opportunity of having eternal life by what Jesus has done for us. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room today. God, that we've been able to worship you and we can sing to you. And Father, we can look into your word and study it. And Father, I pray that as we assemble in this place today, that your Holy Spirit takes our time together and uses it to minister to each one of us. God, that we would all be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me to come and to go into the house of the Lord. God, that we might understand your blessing today and we might feel it. God, speak to our hearts. I pray this morning, if there's anyone in this room that does not know your Son, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they receive Jesus as their Savior. Day would be the day, Father, that they would choose to become a follower of you. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would use me. Lord, I recognize who I am, and I know that I'm just a man. But, God, I also understand that I'm chosen to be here at this place today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you would give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. We come to this particular text this morning, and you understand that there's probably two different ways to think about God and man and our connection together. There's a way that so many people think about our connection with God, and I look at it in this particular way. It helps me in my understanding of the Scriptures and my understanding of my connection to the Heavenly Father. There are two ways to look at that. The first way in which you look at that is the way that we would call religion. Religion, in definition, is man doing something to get to God. Like, God is there, and he wants to have a relationship with us, and we have to do something to merit that. We have to do something to earn that. And so when you think of so many different faith traditions in the world, that's what they do. Faith traditions are trying to do something to earn their right to have entrance into God's presence, an entrance into fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And there's so many things that they try to add to it. There are some faith groups out there that would teach you, for example, that you cannot be born again until you're baptized. We rejoiced this morning in Amber's baptism, but she was not baptized today to be born again. She was baptized today because she is born again. And so she didn't want to become baptized to be saved and to be in relationship with God. It was simply because she was in relationship with God that she wanted to follow him in obedience. And so one of them is what I would refer to as religion. The other one, as I've just spoken, is relationship. We recognize and we understand this, that God loves us. The scripture is very clear about that. God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Probably one of the first scripture verses that I ever memorized as a little one being brought up in the church is that God loves me, right? God loves you, and I want you to understand that. He loved you enough to send Jesus as his provision to the cross. And Jesus died upon that cross. And he died on that cross because of your sinfulness. Because you are a sinner, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sinfulness. And you know what God simply wants from us? He simply wants from us to be in relationship with him, to choose to accept his free gift of salvation. And that's what this is all about. That's why I think it makes us, especially as Baptists, a little bit peculiar, because we are not religious people. We are people, though, that are in a relationship with God. We want to obey God. We want to follow God. We want to serve God. We want to read the scriptures simply because we are in relationship with him, and we want to know that in relationship with him, we're being obedient to his commands and we're being obedient to his teaching. And so there's a difference in the way you look at man's connection with God. There's the way of religion, and then there's the way of relationship. I want you to understand the way of relationship, that you choose to become a part of God's family. Now, I said that in order for us to understand this. We have read a passage of Scripture from the letter that the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Thessalonica. And he writes to the church at Thessalonica to encourage them and to be a blessing to them, even though they were going through some struggle and they were going through some difficulty, they were being persecuted because of their faith. Paul wants to write to them to be an encouragement to them that they might continue on in relationship with them. And one of the things that he does in this passage of Scripture is he talks to them about the blessing of faith. And that's what I want you to see this morning. I want you to see the blessing of faith. As we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, there are going to be four things that I think are very obvious here as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 about these people that had chosen to be in relationship with God. Four things that you will understand about their faith and the blessing of their faith. So please keep your Bible open because we're going to look at the Word of God this morning and see what the Bible has to say. The first thing that I think is very obvious to me about these people that had chosen to be in relationship with God, Paul wanted to encourage them and help them to understand that they were in relationship by God by looking at their faith. And he says in verse number 3, what I see in verse number 3 is I see this truth there. Their faith is growing. Their faith is growing. Look at the text and notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. He writes, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." So he tells them in verse number 3 that your faith, it is growing exceedingly. He says in verse number 3 that your love toward one another abounds greatly. It abounds toward each other. So your love is growing exceedingly and your faith is abounding toward one another, right? And so what he wants them to see and understand in verse number 3 is that they are in relationship with one another. And Paul had observed something in their life. Now, what book are we in this morning? We're looking at 2 Thessalonians, right? And in order for there to be a 2 Thessalonians, there needs to be a what? There needs to be a First Thessalonians. Okay, and so what we have recorded for us in the canon of our scripture is we have the second letter that the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Thessalonica. And so this is the second letter that we have recorded for us in the scripture that Paul had written to this particular church. And so this is not letter number one, this is letter number two. Okay, this is 2 Thessalonians. Guess what he says in 2 Thessalonians? He says in 2 Thessalonians the same thing that he said in 1 Thessalonians. What he said in 1 Thessalonians is that church of Thessalonica, the Parkside Baptist Church at Thessalonica, I recognize in you that you have chosen to be in relationship with me. You have a faith that is growing. And then he writes to them, 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, he says, you know what I see in you? That your faith is growing exceedingly. And the love that you have for one another, it abounds. The word abounds there, it means to be overflowing, to be filling, to be more than enough. And so as Paul writes to this church, he writes to this church encouraging them, telling them that they were on the right path. They were in relationship with God, and it was clearly evident to everyone who observed them that their faith was growing, right? Now ask yourself this question this morning. Is your faith growing? Are you closer to Christ now than you were last year? Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? And Paul looks at the church at Thessalonica and he says, you know, I know that God is at work in your life. The reason why I know that God is at work in your life, because I can see the evidence of that. And the evidence that I see of that is that your faith is growing and your love for others are overflowing. Your love for the brethren, your love for the sisters in your local family of God that have also chosen to be in relationship with God. It's more than it was. And so Paul wanted them to look and to think, is your faith, is it growing? You know, we need to understand that. You know, for those of us that have chosen to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, there is not a time in our life where we should look at our faith as that we have arrived and we have concluded. Right? I'm saved and I'm not going to become any more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved at a point in time and then cut it off. I'm just like that. What God wants us to understand is that our faith should be growing, right? We call that the process of sanctification. It means I need to be more like Jesus today than I was last month. And I need to be more like Jesus next month than I am currently at this particular time. And that's what God wants from each and every one of us. And when Paul looked at the church at Thessalonica, man, he could see that, you know, I wrote to you in 1 Thessalonians and I wrote to you that your faith was abounding toward people. And now I'm writing to you another letter. And in this letter, I want you to know that I see the same thing in you. What does God see in you? I pray that he sees your faith. It is growing. This growth, this process is called the sanctification. A Christian isn't perfect. And even though the praised faith of the Thessalonians here, they had found room to grow. Even though in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, you guys are doing all right. You're doing pretty good. In 2 Thessalonians, he saw some growth in them. So don't stop, right? Don't stop. Keep on becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what your faith will do you. It will serve you. It will be a blessing to you. I want you to know it's much. My faith means so much more for me than it did when I first came to faith in Jesus. When I first came to faith in Jesus, when I made that choice, when I decided, you know, I want to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. I really didn't understand much about the gospel. I didn't really understand much about being in relationship with God. But now that I can look in the rearview mirror and that decision is back there, I can understand, and I can full well understand, you know, God has blessed me up to that particular time. And friend, that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be in relationship with Him. He wants your faith to be growing. And He looks at the Thessalonians and He says, that's what I see. I see your faith growing. And as I look at the Parkside people, well, some of you, I can look and say, yeah, your faith, it is growing. You are becoming more like Jesus. And that's what your faith will do for you, becoming more like Jesus. The second word of encouragement that Paul gives to them, not only is their faith growing, but he says their family is growing. Now, notice how he says this here in verses 4 and 5. Let's read verses 4 and 5. The text says this. So Paul says, so that we, in this particular letter, the authors of it were, of course, the Apostle Paul, but he had a couple of associate pastors with him at that particular time named Silvanus and Timothy. And so he says in verse number 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, he writes, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your tribulations that you endure. So Paul first speaks of their steadfastness in their faith and in their persecution and in their afflictions. And that was the reason why he wrote 2 Thessalonians, because he saw that the church was going through a hard time because they were believers, they were suffering, and they were being persecuted. And so he writes to them to aid them and encourage them as they were going through this difficult time. But drop down here and notice what he says in verse number 5. He writes in verse number 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. So Paul is saying that their faithfulness had caught the attention of unbelievers, right? We know that they're unbelievers because you drop down further in the text and you look at verse number 8, and he talks about the judgment of God that is going to fall upon unbelievers, right? And so he's telling the church at Thessalonica, I see something in you guys, and what I see in you guys is that you are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's evident to me. It is so evident to me when I encounter other churches, I am telling other churches about your faithfulness. And they were suffering more and more persecution. Why do we suffer persecution? You suffer persecution because of faithfulness. You suffer persecution because you're more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you attract people's attention. What was happening in the church at Thessalonica, they were becoming more like Jesus Christ, and they were being more and more attractional toward other believers or unbelievers, and unbelievers were coming to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the work of the church of Thessalonica. More and more people were getting saved. Their family was growing more and more because they were being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, you encourage me. Not only do I recognize and see that your faith is growing, but I also understand that your family is growing. More and more people are becoming believers as a result of your influence. If you are someone that is influencing others for the cause of Christ, I want you to know is that you're going to attract the attention of those that are not believers. You know, those that are not believers, oftentimes they're guided by the evil one. And the evil one is, please understand and please know that the devil is real. Okay, the devil is not a figment of our imagination that is just conceived. Satan is real. And Satan will oppress you. Now, if you're a believer, you cannot be possessed, but if you're a believer, you can be oppressed. You can be oppressed by the evil one, and the evil one wants to come to you, and the evil one wants to oppress you. He wants to rob your joy, and he wants to put things in your path that's going to cause you to get tripped up, because if you're living a faithful life, if you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're becoming more and more sanctified, Satan's losing ground as a result of what you're doing, and he wants to do something to cause you to not gain ground, right? They were being persecuted. They were being persecuted because of their faithfulness was growing and more people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's an enlightening thing to think that Satan is real and Satan is loose. I can remember preaching something like that a few years ago, and I had a lady that came up to me after the service, and she came up to me complaining about what I said. And she said, you know, Pastor, I don't believe that stuff about Satan being real. And I don't believe that stuff about Satan going after those that are more committed believers. And she said, all of these years of living a Christian life, Satan's never bothered me any. I wanted to say something. And in the theater of my mind, I caught myself saying, yeah, it's because you ain't hit a lick for Jesus in years. But if you're serving the Lord, recognize and understand that you are going to have some difficulty as a result of it. That's just truth. So Paul sees that, and he recognizes that in the Thessalonians. He says, your faith, it is growing. He says, your family, it is growing as well. Notice the third thing that we can see here. Not only that, but he says, your freedom is growing. Drop down in your text. Notice with me verse number 6. Let's read verse 6 here. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So what is he saying in verses 6 through verse number 10? He's saying in these verses of scriptures that their freedom is growing. When you give your heart to Christ, when you accept God's grace and his forgiveness in your life, you become a part of the family of God. And when you become a part of the family of God, guess what God does for you at that particular time? He removes from you the penalty of your sinfulness. That's why we rejoice in Jesus. Because of Jesus, I don't have to give an account. I don't have to pay for my sinfulness. Jesus did. Jesus did. And because Jesus has done so for me, because I've chosen to accept God's offer and to be in the family of God, I am free. Doesn't the scripture teach us whom the Son sets free is free indeed? So in this room this morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are free. And you understand more and more about the freedom that you have as you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I walk with Jesus and the closer that I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, man, the more I understand how sinful I really am. The more I think about the things that I do and understand the thoughts that I think and the attitudes and actions that I have, to know that God has forgiven me from all of those things is glorious. wonderful. My freedom that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ is growing. My freedom is growing because I'm more cognizant of who I am and what I do. One thing that I'm glad, I'm not going to hell. You want to know why I'm not going to hell? Because of Jesus. Some of you met my son-in-law. My son-in-law, Michael Greening is his name. He serves as one of the pastors at a church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Just a great young man, just a wonderful young man. And his email address, you know what his email address is? He's got it. He understands. His email address is nohellforme@hotmail. No hell for me. Hey, there's no hell for me because of Jesus. I am free because of Jesus. And if you know him, you are free because of Jesus. There will be no hell for you if you are in Christ. But if you are one of those individuals or among those individuals that is not in Christ, there's going to be hell for you. You need a different email address, right? Instead of no hell for me, it will be hell for you. Hell for me. Paul encourages them, telling them their freedom is growing. Notice the fourth thing that I see here in this passage of Scripture. Fourth thing I see it here in verses 11 and 12. It says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that he says to the church at Thessalonica to encourage them is this: their function is growing. They were doing things for the Lord God in heaven. And Paul was praying that they would continue to serve and continue to live a life that is worthy of the calling that they had. Their function is growing. I saw a lot of function this week. You know, I appreciate the mention about Vacation Bible School. It was fantastic. And we had a lot of people that were serving in just various ways during Vacation Bible School. And it was some long time to serve, and there was a lot of preparation, and there was a lot of effort for Vacation Bible School. And there was a lot of fun to be had also. And I look around. I'm looking around the room. I don't see her in here, so I can tell on her. Okay, one of the things that really encouraged me, one of our Bible study rooms was built like a cave. And some of our teachers, they had prepared a great, great opportunity, and outside their classroom door, they had built a cave, right? And they made it, and it looked absolutely fantastic. And so I am walking around the corner there, and I'm seeing one of our teachers, Jaquita. You know, I'm literally seeing Jaquita, who's had some difficulty lately. I see Jaquita down on her hands and knees, just crawling through that cave to get in that classroom. And I saw that, and I'm still tickled over it. I really am. It was just a blessing to me to see that precious saint of God serving the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So much so, I think I told Heather, make sure you get a picture of Jaquita crawling through the cave, because we'll make her famous for doing so, right? Isn't that precious? You know, her function, it's growing. What about you? Is your function growing? Paul says, Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you live a life that honors Christ Jesus, you are showing to the world that you are in Christ. And you are showing to the world that Christ is in you. Let me ask you this morning, is Christ in you? Probably for many of us in this room today, we know that he is. We know that he is because these four things that we talked about this morning, absolutely true. We can look back upon our life and we can see God at work in us. And if you can see God at work in you, Paul's word of encouragement to the church at Thessalonica is keep at it. Keep on being faithful. Keep on serving. Keep on living for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what you should do. It's what your faith does for you. It grows and becomes sweeter and sweeter as time wears on. But, you know, maybe someone in this room today, you think about it, you know, Pastor Rick, I'm not in Christ. I've never been saved. I've never accepted God's offer of salvation. I want to do that this morning. You need to do that. Friend, you need to do that. Because if you do, you will be saved. You will be set free from the penalty of your sinfulness. You don't have to. You can tell God, no, I don't want to be in relationship with you, God. And God's a gentleman, right? I believe that. I believe that God doesn't force you to do anything. I believe that we have an opportunity to choose. He simply woos us. He simply invites us. He simply encourages us to come to faith in Jesus. But you don't have to. But I want you to understand something. If you don't, you get the opportunity of paying for your own sinfulness. And you pay for your own sinfulness by eternal punishment in hell. And friend, you don't want that. You want to be able to say, no hell for me. The only way you can say no hell for me is if you put your faith and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you become in Christ, in relationship with him. And if you've never done that, friends, we invite you, please, please do that. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. We call it an invitation. We'll sing a song. And during that song, if you have a decision to make, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, we invite you. Do that at this time. If you don't understand what to do, that's fine. Come and let me know. We'll find time to get along with you and open up the Bible and show you exactly what the Bible has to say about salvation if you need more clarity. We will help you in your decision to come to faith in Jesus. Maybe you are a believer and you just want to come to the altar this morning to thank God, to praise God that you know that he's at work in your life. Friend, that's so appropriate. This is a safe place, isn't it? It's the safest place you can be, on your knees in front of the Heavenly Father, praying out to him. We invite you, friend, please respond. Please respond as the Holy Spirit draws you this morning. Father, we come into your presence today to tell you, God, we love you.